6 o'clock. Next Sunday night at the fairgrounds. Food. There's tickets back in the back, so you can pick up. Yes, and if you run out of tickets, we'll get some more, right? Okay. All right. I'm excited as well about our Mighty Men Conference that's going to be going on a week from Friday night. Not this coming Friday night, but the following one. Friday night and Saturday morning. And it's going to be an awesome conference. And there's a handout in your handout that you can use to invite somebody else with or just put it somewhere to remind you to come as a man. We're going to have a wonderful barbecue supper and then session Friday night, and then Saturday morning at 9 we're going to have another breakfast, men's breakfast. We love having those together, and then we'll have 3 sessions that morning, and then Dr. Scarborough is also going to be here that Sunday to preach for us, and it's going to be a blessed time. So that's a lot of good stuff to be praising about right now. Any prayer needs? Yes, ma'am. Right. Yes. Amen. And
The Bill Coogan family in
Maybell. He passed away, so in Utah. So be praying for them as well. Yes. Broke her collarbone. That's got to hurt, especially a little baby. She's not a baby, but anyway. All right, yes, we'll pray for Adri. She broke her collarbone. All right.
Pastor, I'd like to post-announce the marriage of our daughter, Tiffany, who got married to Jesse Haskins just a couple of weeks ago. Anyhow, all went well, and
we're glad to have you back.
I just want to congratulate them.
Amen. Amen. They're tired of hearing me. So we're glad you're back, and we're looking forward to what God's going to continue to do. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much that you are with us today. You'll never leave us or forsake us. We're so grateful for that. Lord, help us to be obedient to your call. Help us as a nation, Father, to turn our eyes back on you and keep them there, and to follow your word and to do what you called us to do. Lord, we do pray for little Adri. We lift her up to you. Pray for complete healing, and that you'll comfort her as she's going through this recuperation time. I just pray, Father, that you'll help her right now. I do thank you for the opportunities that are coming up for the Love Inc. banquet, and also for the Mighty Men Conference that's coming up. I just pray both of those will be extremely well attended, and you will bless those that are a part of that. I do pray for the Coogan family, and I just lift them up to you, and I pray that you'll meet their needs and their loss. Lord, we do pray for our nation, that we will take your word at heart, and because you told us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then you will hear from heaven, you'll forgive our sin, and you'll heal our land. And Lord, we're asking that you do that. We're asking that we would do what we're supposed to do. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. We'll let you sit down on this one, all right? There's power in the blood.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power. Would you be free from your passion?
children's church if we have children to go?
All right. I'm going to have you stand on this one. Love lifted me. We can't sit and sing Love Lifted Me. Would you stand, please? For the... All right.
I was sinking down the pit, far from the peaceful shore. Very deep in pain within, thinking to life no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the water drifted me, now safe am I.
To say it is.
Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 5. We're going to start reading in verse 21 in just a moment. Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read the rest of chapter 5, 21 through 43. As you're turning to that, I want to share just a little illustration story, a true story. It happened in 1871. It was called the Great Chicago Fire, and it ravaged the city. When it was finally extinguished, the fire had taken over 300 lives and had left some 100,000 people homeless. A man by the name of Horatio Gates Stafford was one of those who tried to help the people of the city to get back on their feet. He was a Chicago lawyer who had invested heavily into the downtown area. He had lost everything as a result of the fire. More tragically, Stafford had also suffered the loss of his only son just a year earlier. Still, for 2 years, Stafford assisted the homeless, impoverished, grief-stricken, and others ruined by the fire. And after 2 years of such work, Stafford and his family decided to take a vacation. They were going to England to join D.L. Moody and Irish Sankey on one of their evangelistic crusades, then travel to Europe. Horatio Stafford was delayed by some business, but he sent his family on ahead. He would catch up to them on the other side of the Atlantic. Their ship, the Via de Havre, never made it. They crashed into another ship off of Newfoundland, the Loch Eam, and it sank within 20 minutes. Though Horatio's wife, Anna, was able to cling to a piece of floating wreckage, one of the only 47 survivors among the hundreds that were on that boat. Their four daughters, Maggie, Tanetta, Annie, and Bessie, were killed. Horatio received a horrible telegram from his wife, only two words long, "Saved alone." Stafford boarded the next available ship to be near his grieving wife. When the ship passed near the spot where the daughters had died, Stafford took out a piece of paper and a pencil, and he penned these precious words we just heard. "When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it's well with my soul. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight and the clouds be rolled back like a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." Let's read this passage today. Verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. And while he was by the lake, one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And at once Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," the disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And when the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some of the men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and said to them, "Why is this commotion and wailing? What is all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand, and he said to her, "Talitha kaum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. And he gave strict orders to not let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Father, I come to you, Lord, and I just thank you so much that in the midst of trials, in the midst of storms, even in the midst of death, you're still with us. And you'll never leave us or forsake us. Lord, what you have planned is always something greater than what we could think of. Lord, I think of Mr. Spafford and his faith in knowing that even though his young children had perished at sea, his young four daughters had died, that you still have a plan and a purpose, and that you would supply every need that he had. And Father, I thank you. It's the same for us. It was the same for this sick woman. It was the same for Jairus. It was the same for his daughter. It's the same for every person who will come to you, Lord, that you have a means of supply. And you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your hand out there, I'll read this little paragraph at the top. The supply for our need will only be found in Jesus Christ. I invite you to do what Jairus did so long ago. Get up and go to Jesus. Fall at his feet. Tell him what you need. Do you need to be saved today? He can do that. Do you need to see a loved one touched and saved? He can do that. Do you need help with a problem? He can do that. Do you need grace for a valley that you're going through? He can do that. Do you need healing for sickness or a broken heart? He can do that. Jesus is not a magic genie, but he is sovereign Lord, and he can make an impossible situation and turn it into a miracle of his power and glory. Is there a need? Bring it to him. And that's exactly what we see today in today's passage. We see the power of faith. You see, without faith, things are impossible, the scripture tells us. We've got to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one who can do all things. So I want you to see, first of all, this powerful dialogue that comes up in verses 21 through 23. When Jesus had crossed over the boat, remember that they'd gone across. Last week we saw him heal the Gadarene demoniac and amazingly had told him to go back and tell all of his family. And this man who was once possessed by a legion of demons was now completely healed, sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him preach. So when Jesus crossed over to the boat, back to the other side of the lake, a large crowd followed. They wanted to hear more of it. They wanted to hear and see more of what Jesus was doing. So while he was by the lake, one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. And this is an amazing thing. The asking of Jairus is something that took great courage for him to do. I think a lot of times people don't ask the Lord for things because they're afraid to come into His presence. They're afraid to ask something that might be selfish, or they might be thinking all kinds of things as they come into the presence of God. But I can tell you this one thing, folks. God will never, ever, ever not want you to come into His presence. He is looking for people who are looking to Him. And Jairus was looking to Jesus. He knew he had no other hope. He was a ruler in the synagogue, by the way. So it means he was a very religious man. He was prominent in the community. Most people knew who he was. He was probably very well off. He was prosperous. He had all the kinds of things that he needed, he thought he needed, or whatever. And so when people saw Jairus coming to Jesus, this was something different, because most of the rulers of the synagogue would not come to Jesus in this way, asking for help. In fact, as we continue to see things come to pass in the book of Mark, we will see more and more of the leaders of the synagogue and the leaders of the Pharisees coming to Jesus and trying to trick Him and test Him and make Him do something that was not of God. But Jairus came to Him because he had a personal need. His personal need was his little girl. To him, none of that mattered with his little daughter dying. Now, I don't know if you've ever been through a situation with one of your children where it seemed like it was something that bad. Drew probably knows exactly what I'm talking about. A few weeks ago, he was very fearful for his little girl. But the fact is, we began praying and God did something amazing and she's doing excellent. That's the way God can do things. Sometimes the Lord uses circumstance to bring what is truly important into focus. You see, if everything is going great, we have a tendency to not even really look all that much to God. You know, we're just cruising along. Everything seems to be falling into place. We really don't think we need anything. What we don't realize is we need a whole lot. Because we're relying on us and we're relying on the things of this world. So sometimes the Lord uses circumstances, trials, things that He brings into our life to get us to stop for just a moment and look to Him. To his credit, Jairus knew where to go when he needed help. Do you? I tell you what, folks. Sometimes something happens and you immediately look at your bank account. Do I have enough money to do something about this? Or you run to one of your friends and say, hey, can you help me out? Why don't we turn to Jesus immediately? Jairus knew where he needed to go, and that's exactly what he did. And in verse 22, he falls before Jesus. He falls at his feet. Somewhere, Jairus had heard about Jesus and what Jesus had been doing. Now, just in the few weeks that Jesus had already been in public ministry, people had started hearing and seeing amazing things that were happening. And folks, they didn't have internet and they didn't have, you know, ways to text somebody about what was going on. But I guarantee you, they got the word out. And people were coming from all over the place to see Jesus. And most of the places that Jesus went, it was so crowded that he had even a hard time of walking through the crowd because there were so many people. They wanted to see and hear and understand what was going on. Well, Jairus had heard of the miracles. There's no doubt he'd heard of this young man who was completely taken over by a legion of demons being healed. He probably heard of those who were dead being brought back to life already. He'd heard of people who were crippled being able to be made to walk. He heard all of these things. He knew that Jesus was passing through town. He'd heard the word. Hey, did you know Jesus is coming through? Yeah, Jesus is coming through. Wouldn't that be great to hear that Jesus was coming through Craig, Colorado? By the way, he's already here. This prominent man saw Jesus and what did he do? The Bible says he ran and he fell at the feet of Jesus. That's the right thing to do. Because you realize, folks, that sooner or later, one day, that's where you'll be. You will be at the feet of Jesus. You'll be on your knees. You'll be proclaiming Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jairus, even though he was a religious man, even though he was part of the synagogue, a ruler of the synagogue, he knew exactly what he needed to do and he fell at the feet of Jesus. This is the place we all ought to be. It's a show of complete humility. I think sometimes when we pray, sometimes when we think about the Lord, sometimes when we read Scripture, we don't even do it in a humble way. We just think, well, this is part of my religious thing that I do, and so, you know, it's all about me. Humility means it's not about me at all, it's about Him. The way up is down. James reminds us of that in James chapter 4, verse 6. But He gives us more grace. Why Scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. And then again in 1 Peter 5, 6 it says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand that He may lift you up in due time. Jairus knew the way up was down and he came and he humbled himself before Jesus. When we come to the place where we see our own inability and we see His ability, then we are in a position to receive what we need from Him. But it is in that place. I think many times we need to just humble ourselves before God and hear and listen and see what He wants to do instead of just coming to Him all the time, begging Him to do stuff for us. Then he makes this acknowledgement in verse 23. Look at this. I like how he says this. And he pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come, put your hands on her so that she might be healed and live. No, so that she will be healed and live. See, he didn't say, you know, give it your best shot and see if it'll help. He knew that Jesus had the power to do this. In essence, he was saying, I can't do anything. I can't do this, but I believe you can. See, this is a statement of faith that Jairus was making about Jesus. Not only was he making it about Jesus, he was also making it so that other people would hear that statement of faith. Do people hear your statement of faith? Are you bragging on Jesus? Are you telling people what Jesus has done for you? Are you lifting Him up and the things that He continues to do in your life? He knew that he couldn't do a thing about his little girl, but God could. By the way, folks, there is nothing too difficult for God. You might think it's impossible. You might think there's no way through this. You might think that this is the end. But let me tell you something, folks. The impossible to us is always possible for God. So, he was in this crowd and people were crowding around Jesus and we see this large crowd followed and pressed around him, the Scripture says in verse 24. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years and she suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all that she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she got worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and just reached out and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from the suffering. And at once Jesus realized what had happened, that the power had gone out from him. And he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And by the way, let me just ask you this question. Do you think he didn't know who did it? I think he did it so that she would proclaim it. Now, you know what, folks? Jesus doesn't just save you just so you can be saved. He saves you so you can tell people that you're saved. There was an intrusion of this sickness. The interest of the Savior is always towards meeting people's needs. Jesus listened to the genuine call for help. By the way, He always will. That's why He does what He does. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Now it's interesting, in the Greek, those words ask, seek, and knock are continuous in nature. Doesn't mean just ask one time. It just means keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Don't give up. As Jesus goes with Jairus, they're stopped by this woman with the issue of blood. This delay must have gripped the heart of Jairus. I mean, can you imagine this? My daughter's about to die, and we're stopping here to talk to this lady. How would you feel if it was your daughter? I could just imagine Jairus inside is going, "Oh man, are we going to get there in time?" But what's interesting about this is He doesn't pull on the robe of Jesus or interrupt the Lord's dialogue with this woman, as some people probably would have. I might have done that. He merely waits. This is an extreme example of faith. You know why? Because when he asked Jesus to come to his house and heal his daughter, that's exactly what Jesus said he would do. Now see, this guy had more faith than the disciples had when Jesus said to the disciples, "Get in the boat, we're going to the other side," except a storm came up. They thought they were going to die. You remember? And Jesus said, "We're not going to go out in the middle and drown. We're going to the other side." So when Jesus had told Jairus, "We're going to your house. We'll do it. Let's go." He didn't have any qualms. He understood by faith that Jesus said he was going to do something. So he merely waits. Greater than the faith as the disciples had in the storm on the sea. "Don't you care if we perish?" Don't you remember them saying that to Jesus? "Don't you care we're going to die?" Jairus had placed this problem in the hands of Jesus, and he left it there. Folks, I'm telling you something. That's great faith. That's the kind of faith we ought to have. That's the kind of faith that will show us what God is able and willing to do if we'll trust by faith. Well, it's interesting that as we go on in this passage in verse 35, there was an invasion of sorrow. While Jesus was still speaking, he had just told his daughter to go in peace and be free from your suffering. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. While he was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Can you imagine how Jairus felt at this moment? If we hadn't been stopped to help that woman. Just remember, Mary and Martha questioned the Lord why he tarried and allowed Lazarus to die. You remember that? Well, I'm going to ask you to turn in your scripture over just a little bit to John chapter 11. And we're going to read this little passage. It's a little lengthy, so I didn't want to put it up on the screen because it takes a lot of characters to get it up there, and then it's so small you can't read it. But anyway, John chapter 11, I want to read this passage to you, beginning in verse 11. After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep or died, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So they told him plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let's go to him." And then Thomas, doubting Thomas, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go also that we may die with him." And on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he'll rise again at the resurrection in the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here, and he's asking for you." And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus had saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied, and Jesus wept. And then Jesus said, "See how he loved him." The Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could he not who have opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." By the way, a lot of scholars say he called Lazarus because if he called, not used Lazarus' name, everybody that was dead in there would have come out. The dead man came out. His hands and his feet were still wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." You see, folks, if you'll just turn to Jesus, no matter what the situation is, it may seem like it's permanent, but God is able. And he can do things far greater than we can even think or imagine. God is seldom early, but he is never late. He's always right on time. He waited for 4 days before he came to see Lazarus. Why did he do that? If he'd have come and healed him when he was sick, that would have been nice. It would have been great. But how much greater is it that he came even after he died and brought him back to life? It was a powerful deliverance. Well, when we get back to Mark chapter 5, and we look at what happened when they came and told Jairus, beginning in verse 36. And ignoring what they had said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." The exclamation of faith, the little girl had died. Jesus told Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe." In essence, he was saying, "Have faith." Do you believe? Do you trust in the power of God? Do you trust in what he said he can do? There's some exclusions of faithfulness, by the way. We see that when he got there, he didn't let anybody go in except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. And when he came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loud. And when he went in and said to them, "Why is all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but she's asleep." But they laughed at him. Are you kidding us? She's dead. Jesus put everyone out who did not believe. He will also do that later. He will put everyone out who will not believe. This is not the only time this has happened. It will come again. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" He didn't let any of these people go into the house with him. But then he took in part of his disciples and the Father. And he went in, the scripture tells us in verse 40. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kaum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Took her by the hand. Will he take you by the hand? Will you reach out to him? What Jesus did was bring someone who was dead back to life. That's the picture of salvation, by the way. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We deserve to be separated from God. The penalty for sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so God demonstrated to us this, that Jesus Christ paid the price for us so that we could have eternal life. Jesus took her by the hand. Friend, He's waiting to do that same thing in your life today. He's waiting for you to bring your impossible situation to Him, whatever it might be. Leave it with Him by faith and trust Him to deal with it in His time. Some of you need to bring your soul to Jesus today. You need to be saved. If you're listening today online and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, you need to be saved. You need to not fear that He won't save you. He will. And He will fix that which is broken in your life. Some of you need to bring a lost spouse or a lost child or some other special person to Jesus. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's someone you work with. Put them in His hand and leave them to Him. Some need to bring a situation that's causing you fear and worry today. Bring it to Jesus. Give it to Him and watch Him change it for His glory. I don't know what you need, but I know He has it for you. Why don't you get the peace and comfort and help that you need today? You know, I read that story about Horatio Spafford, but I want to read one more thing to you as a reminder. There was a pastor by the name of Luther Bridges back in 1884. He married a lady named Sarah V.H. And they had three sons. Pastor Bridges accepted the invitation to minister at a conference in Kentucky in the year of 1910. So he left his family in the care of his father-in-law and made the trip to Kentucky. There were two wonderful weeks of ministry resulted there. The last service closed with great joy, and he was excited to be called to the telephone. He couldn't wait to tell his wife about all the blessings and the people who'd been saved. But it wasn't her voice on that long-distance line. He listened in silence to the news that a fire had burned down the house of his father-in-law and that his wife and all three children had died in the blaze. That distraught father leaned heavily on the Savior, and he expressed his faith in God during a tearful moment by sitting down and penning these words, "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings and stirred the slumbering chords again. Soon He's coming back to welcome me. Far beyond the starry sky, I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, and I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go." Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to You this morning because we know without You we have nothing, but with You we have all things. You are all that we need. You are always going to be there for us. and you care for us and you love us so much. But Father, I realize and understand that maybe in this place today, there might be someone here who's not yet given their life to you. Maybe there's someone listening online right now that knows they need to give their heart to you, but they've been reticent to do so. They've been afraid to give up some of their life. But Lord, I know because of what you've done in my life and because of what you've done in so many other people's lives, that when we give our life to you, we're more blessed than we could ever be. Father, I pray today that whatever needs to happen with every person who's listening will happen by faith. Just as the same faith that Jairus had, that Jesus could heal his daughter, even bring her back from death. Lord, you can do all things. And so, Lord, I trust you that if there's someone right now who knows they need you, but has been putting it off and not knowing exactly how to do it, or even if they could do it, Lord, would you give them the power right now to call upon you for salvation? To just simply say, Lord, I need you. I know I've messed up and done things that are wrong. I've sinned greatly, and I need your forgiveness, Lord. And so, Lord, I come to you and I tell you I'm sorry for the things that I've done. And I ask you, Father, to forgive me and to come into my life and to change me from the inside out and make me a brand new person. To heal me, to lift me up from my deathbed of sin and make me a brand new creation. If that's where you are this morning, you would pray something like that. I know He would hear your heart. Even if you don't know exactly the words to say, He knows what your heart says. Just simply ask Him to forgive you, to cleanse you, to make you new and whole. And that you will follow Him as your Lord. Repent of your old ways. If you're here today and you want to do that, I'd love to meet you down here at the front in just a moment as we have our time of invitation. I'd love to share with you how to know that you're receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. By the way, if you choose to do that, He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You'll always be held in the Father's hands. And you can know whenever that day comes that you stand before Jesus, He will say, "Welcome, my child. Come to the place that I've prepared for you." Maybe you're listening online and you can't come and be here today, but you could online tell us that you gave your heart to Jesus today, and we'll be glad to reach out to you and help you wherever you are grow in Christ. Whatever it is that God might be saying to you this morning, maybe you're looking for a church home and you feel like this is the place that God wants you to land. We would love to have you. But again, we're not looking for just a bunch of names to put on a church roll so that we can say we have X numbers of members. We're just looking for people who love God and love people and are willing to join us and share the word about Christ. Whatever it is that God might be saying to you this morning, I would encourage you to take care of that as we have this time of invitation. Let's stand and then we'll get singing together.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the worldly light. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have illumined my sight. Great.
folks. You may be seated. Let me share with you a couple of announcements. In your handout there, there are a number of things. One is one-page deal about the men's conference. The reason we did that is not only so you'd know about it, but that you could take this and give it to a friend of yours or whatever and invite them to come. We hope to have a really good crowd of men that those 2 days, and it's going to be a wonderful time praying over it every single day, praying that God will move in an amazing way. We also been reminded that the women's Bible study is going to continue on at noon on Tuesdays. They meet out at Laddie Simpson. So if you want to be a part of that, ladies, that's going on Tuesdays at noon. So you can come and be a part of that. And a number of other things that are listed there on your handout. I won't take you all the way through those things just to know what's going on. We're glad you're here today. If you're a guest with us, we'd love to get to know you a little bit better. There's a card in the pew in front of you. If you just want to fill that out real quick and just drop it in the offering receptacle as you leave, we'd love to get to know you a little bit better. And if you'd like for us to contact you, or if you'd not like for us to contact you, just put it on there, whatever. So we're glad you're here today. All right, well, let's stand, and we're going to close with a word of prayer. Brother Preston, could you lead some prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We can really come, study your word, and get a message from your word. And I pray this message of faith touch each and every one of us, and flash our God, take it outside of the lost world again. Pray to watch over us and keep us safe and guide our steps, Lord, as we go on our team. Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Sing with me real quick. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Amen. See you Wednesday.